You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5784, 2024. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Shlach, and in our Parsha we have the story of Moshe Rabbeinu sending the spies to Eretz Yisrael to seek out the land, to see its beauty, to see the weaknesses of our enemies, and they return and they report a negative report. And they say that we can't do it, Hashem can't do it. Maybe Hashem was able to defeat the Egyptians, but there's just too many people to defeat in the land of Israel. We can't do it. The Jewish people cried, became known as the Day of Tisha B'Av, which, before the onset of what we're going to speak about, it's important to notice and point out that both Shivas and Rit Amuz, which was the day when the Jewish people served the golden calf, and the ninth of Av, which is the day that it was decreed upon us that we would be in the wilderness for 40 years, had the potential to be amazing days. Really, you know, we're soon going to be heading in just a few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, to the time that represents destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, which goes back really to those original sins of the golden calf and the sin of the spies. But those were days. Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz with the Luchos. It's supposed to be a day of receiving the Torah, of strengthening our commitment to God and to our relationship with Him. Tisha B'Av was supposed to be a day when it was announced that we're heading into Israel and God is going to help us to defeat them. But those days will be turned into days of joy in the future, when those days do indeed accomplish what they're meant to accomplish. But in the present, these days are sad days. So it's important to understand that. It's important to understand going in, what is the concept here? What happened? So I want to read to you first, there's really three parts of this Medrash. I want to read to you first the last part of the Medrash, which has to do with our Parsha, which has to do with the story of the spies. And it's a well-known concept. And I don't want to dwell so much on the concept as it expresses itself because it's so well-known. But I want to understand the comparison of the Medrash to two other circumstances where we made a similar mistake, as we did with the sin of the spies. I want to understand what is the depth of that, and how we can work on this idea and try to reverse the mistake that was made. The Medrash said like this. This is in Parsha Tezayin, Ois Chav Dalet. It says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'mash Ativois Yilehem Bo'hi Chisuni. God laments the fact that in the very thing that I did the Jewish people a favor, I did something good to them. And as we'll see, it doesn't just mean that Hashem did something good for us, but it means that Hashem brought us to a different spiritual level, a completely different place, a different way of interacting with us in regards to His Hashkacha Pratis, in regards to His divine providence. But in the very gift that He gave us with this new relationship, the Jewish people took that gift and threw it away. As it were, spit in Hashem's face, threw it back in Hashem's face. Shenemar, we find this idea exists in a pasuk in Yeshayah, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4. Mala sois oid lecharmi. What else, God says, can I do for my vineyard? The Jewish people, as we've mentioned here in my garden, the Jewish people is referred to as a vineyard. And as a result of that, the Jewish people are attended to by the great vineyard keeper, which is Hashem. But at a certain point, when Hashem sees that the vineyard is not developing the way he'd like, so he expresses a certain remorse and a certain exasperation with us. Hashem is watering the vineyard, he's tending to us, and we're saying we're not interested in drinking the water. So Hashem says, Mala says, Oid Lekarmi, what else can I do for my vineyard? What happened in our context? Holchum Aragim Varos Aretz. The spies went and they saw the land. They came into the land of Israel. At Moisi B'chol Mokim Shisrael Halech Nikaru. Shemar Kol Re'em Yakirun. Pasuk says in Isaiah that wherever the Jewish people go, we stick out. We're very noticeable. Whether it's people, even if it's people who are not from secular Jews in the land of in America, in Europe, we win a lot of Nobel Prizes. We accomplish a lot. We're motivated. We're the heads of our political parties. We're the interviewers in the presidential debates. The Jews stick out. We're noticeable. You know, we're such a small percentage of the population. So God says, look, as the Jews walk into the land, these Meraglim, they're going to be noticeable. The Pashup Shah, they stick out like a sore thumb. They're dressed differently. Maybe they had Egyptian clothes. Whatever it is, Jews are noticed wherever we go. So Hashem says, if the people of the land will notice that the Jews are there, so then they'll realize it's Jews and they'll kill them. Lamani Yaisa. So Hashem created a situation where the people of the land would be distracted as the spies came through. Interesting. I don't recall hearing this part of it exactly. Every single place that the spies would go, so a king, interesting, the mayor of the town, or a queen, it says, the leader of that particular location, of that particular state, that particular locality would die. And the people of each of these places would be involved in dealing with their dead. They would be distracted and not notice the Jewish spies coming through. So Hashem created a diversion. Unbelievable. Through Hashem's divine intervention. Not just Hashkacha Pratis, you know, God is watching over. But Hashem came down, killed these people, killed the great. It reminds me a bit of, you know, the Bechayim of Mitzrayim, the firstborn of Egypt dying. Hashem took the leaders, the queens, the kings, took them out. So that there would be a distraction and the spies wouldn't be noticed. But the thing is like this. The favor, Hashem says, the favor that I did to the Jewish people, the favor that I did for the spies to create a distraction, they used that to anger me. They looked at it in a negative way. When they came in front of Moses and in front of the people of Israel, they said, they said, this land, it's unbelievable. Everywhere we went, people were just dying. There were levias. There was eulogies and they were bringing people out to be buried everywhere we went. They looked at it. They saw the hashgacha of it. This is my own approach on it. They saw the hashgacha. They said, wow, Hashem is showing us. I'm adding this, Hashem is showing us. But they saw that wherever they went, people were dying. And instead of recognizing that it was Hashem's hashgacha to show them this in order that they be safe, they saw it as everyone's dying. They saw that it's a place, it's a land that people who go there, people who live there, are constantly getting killed. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Oyisi Sabashatim Nasim Ka'avos, I thought that you would be like the forefathers. I thought that you would be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I thought that you would have the sense to recognize my Hashkacha Pratis, my divine providence, working for you in a positive way. This is so essential and important to understand. You're my kerem, like we saw before. You're my vineyard. I thought you're going to be like the grapes, the original grapes who I planted, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who recognized that the things that happened in their lives, which you could go either way. You could look at it in a negative way or in a positive way. But they saw it. They always saw everything that happened to them in a positive way. And as a result, I chose them. I thought you would be like that. But instead, you chose to be like Sodom. Who is Sodom? Sodom was a nation. Sodom was a group of people, a city. Sodom and Amora. That they had every blessing. But they wouldn't share. They wouldn't recognize that the blessing is from God. And that the blessing is meant to be shared. Kimi Geffen Sodom Gafnum. That's why Hashem says, this is really the first pasuk in the beginning of the Medrash, which I didn't read. Hashem complains, as it were, or he expresses his exasperation by saying, how long will they be menites? How long will they say things that are destructive and negative? You find this word lenaetz by the pasuk says that a person who steals and makes a blessing, it's called a niutz. He's menaitz. Inz mevarich el menaitz. It's not called that he blessed. Let's say you steal something and you steal a fruit and you eat the fruit, but before you eat the fruit, you make a blessing on it. So you're taking the positive thing, which is a blessing, recognition that this belongs to God, but you've stolen something. So you're not blessing God. You're saying something negative. You're using the thing that could have been used positively in a negative way. And that's a terrible, terrible sin. Hashem gives us a beautiful country in Eretz Yisrael. People speak negatively about the land. People focus in on the negative and say all kinds of things about how difficult perhaps it is. It's all shtusim. It's all falsehoods. Jewish people belong in Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. The mistake is when we speak negatively about it, think it's not for us. Think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be Mashgiach, doesn't have the ability to give us Hashkacha Pratis no matter what, in order to succeed in life, in our parnas, in our livelihood. We need God's help in order to succeed in you know, the wars against our enemies, etc. Whether it's the pro-Hamas people in America or whether it's the actual Hamas people here in Israel, we need God's help. There's no success without God's help. So that's the mistake of the Meraglim, and it's unfortunately, I don't want to dwell on it, but it's also a mistake that's made today very much. Now, but I want to understand the depth of this mistake and how we can reverse it. You know, in the most simple understanding, we're saying here that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us an amazing positive situation, an amazing Hashkacha Pratis, in causing these people to die, and instead of recognizing the Hashkacha of it in a positive way, they just say everyone's dying. This is a place where they die. But I want to understand this in a deeper way. And in order to do so, I want to read to you the beginning of the Medrash. The Medrash speaks about two different circumstances where the Jewish people had a positive situation that they reversed and looked at in a negative way, and as a result, caused a tremendous loss of connection to God, a tremendous loss in their relationship with Hashem, and a tremendous loss in their spiritual level. As the Jewish people would have entered into the land of Israel at that point, instead of waiting 40 years, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Miriam, they would have led them into the land of Israel. We would have been here forever. We would never have gone into exile. It was a moment that was pivotal in Jewish history. We wouldn't have gone into exile in Babylonia for 70 years. We wouldn't have been in this exile, which we've been in for almost 2,000 years. So it's like it makes such a big difference. And it made a big difference in the first situation, which I'd like to read to you here as well. It says in the Pasuk, the Medrash starts off by quoting the Pasuk, how long will the Jewish people continue to take the good thing and reverse it into negative? Hadao d'chsev, says the Pasuk in Mishlei, v'tifru kol atzasi v'techachti, lo yavisem, no'atzu kol techachti. Where it says in the first chapter of Mishlei in verse 25, Atifru Kalatsosi, they threw off all of my advice, Hashem says. V'techachti la'yavisem, you didn't listen to my words of rebuke. And understand that rebuke is a positive thing, we think of it negatively, but it's just a statement of truth. No'atzu kol techachti. They flipped around all of my rebuke. It's very interesting because we're going to see that it's not just a rebuke, but it's an amazing positive situation that Hashem creates for us that we think we can't handle. We think we can't handle. Pasuk is saying, all the good that I advised you, that I wanted to give you, you destroyed it. You threw it off. You removed it from yourselves. Originally, I came down to save you from the hands of Egypt. Atem le'asisim came. You didn't do this, right? I came to save you from Egypt. There I was, ready to save you. Basim la'yom, miyakil kaltem es'ezo, sh'no yamu al yam b'yamsa. Pasuk says in Tehillim, and when the Jewish people got to the Sea of Reeds, they looked in front of them, there was the sea. They looked behind them, and they saw the Egyptians coming in, swooping in to bring them back to Egypt, or to kill them. So, they rebelled against God right there. Pasuk says it. They rebelled against God. Hashem said, I'm with you. Here I am. I did these amazing miracles to get you out of Egypt. I bring you to a point where it seems like there's no return. And that's really important to understand. This is really what it looks like. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us to a new level in our relationship with Him, He brings us to a point of no return, where it looks like there's no way we can survive. Think about Avram Avinu. He's 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. They didn't have any children. How are they going to survive? How is the Jewish people going to begin? But at the moment of where it seems there's no survival, Hashem comes in and brings us to the higher level, to the exalted spiritual level. Avram and Sarah have a child at the age of 90 and 100, respectively. So the Jewish people should have recognized they'd already seen Yeshua. They'd already seen a God that had saved them and helped them and protected them. But still, at Yom Suf, they doubted it. Maybe they doubted their worthiness, or maybe they doubted the ability of God, but they doubted that they could get through the impossible situation that Hashem Himself had placed them in. And that's really, it's so important to understand this. Such a fundamental idea. It's so deep. Sorry, we got some bugs over here. Now, we shift from what happened by Yam Suf, which was the moment of salvation, that it didn't seem was possible, and the Jewish people almost messed it up, but Hashem came in and saved us. But the next point in time was just 42 days later, approximately, 43 days later, at our Sinai, Mount Sinai, the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma. And as a result of them saying, we will do it, we will listen, they received two crowns. One for Nasa, one for Nishma. Not only did they receive two crowns, but they received two angels came down from heaven. And first of all, there's a bit of understanding of exactly what's going on here. But according to this understanding, they each got a belt or a weapon, a belt that holds a weapon, holds a sword. And they got a crown on their head. And understand, we find also by the tefillin that when the nations of the world see the tefillin, which is the crown of the Jew on his head, they're afraid of us. And we're going to see that there was a fear that was placed not just on the nations of the world in relationship to the Jewish people, but on the malachim themselves, the angels themselves, the malach hamoves, the angel of death, could no longer touch the Jewish people. We gained eternal life in that moment. We had gone back to Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, the first man before the sin. We had reverted, although the entire world did not revert. The nations of the world did not. The Jewish people did go back to that higher spiritual state which we were originally created with, where we would never die. So they each had different understandings of exactly what it was. It was a belt. It was a kingly garment. A porpira is like a royal garment. But it had on it, and this is important, this is essentially important, it had on it the name of Hashem. God's divine name, Hashem HaMefarsh, His explicit name, was engraved onto either the weapon, or onto the crown, or onto the belt, or onto the kingly garment. So what? As long as they wore this garment, or as long as they had the sword in their hand, the angel of death couldn't get them. So as we mentioned in the beginning, 40 days later, the Jewish people sinned and they worshipped the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, take off your crown. Take off that royal garment. Take off that sword with Hashem's name on it. You have removed Hashem from you. You had, for the moment, you had an opportunity for eternal life. And one of the Mefarshim explained it more explicitly as to what was the, like in the story of the Meraglim, it's very clear, because the Meraglim looked at the situation where Hashem was helping them directly, and they said, oh, that's not what it is. They threw it away. They said, oh, the land eats up its people. People are dying here. They didn't see they chose to deny the Hashgacha Pratis of it, the fact that God was intervening to protect them. Here, too, there's a direct act on the part of the Jewish people, because, as the Mefarshim explained, the Jewish people, when Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which is the Shema Mefarish, right? God says, I am Hashem, your God. They all experienced that. 1.5 million people, all at the same time, heard God's voice. God said, I am Hashem, your God. So that was the moment where they were now ready to experience eternal life. They died, they came back to life. And so the Medrash says, they died and they came back to life, which is what happens, which will happen by Tchias HaMesim. So we need to get a new goof. We need to get a new body. It's a whole deep idea. We have to get a new body that lives forever. The Jewish people died, they came back to life, but they were afraid to hear it again. And then Hashem said, Lo yelecha lehim achirim, don't have any idols. And they died again. And they died twice. And Hashem brought them back to life twice. So they were afraid that it wouldn't happen again, that they wouldn't be brought back to life, that they didn't have eternal life. They were afraid that having the name of Hashem, which is what gives them eternal life, they could lose that. They were afraid that they couldn't withstand it. This is the depth of it. Moshe, and think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, why do they worship the golden calf? They worship the golden calf, as Chazal say, because the Yetzer Hara, the Malach HaMavis, appeared to the Jewish people and said, look, Moshe went up to heaven and he died. That's what he showed him, right? That's what he showed them. They showed it. The Malach HaMavis, the Yetzer Hara, showed the Jewish people the bier of Moshe, the casket, and all the angels were around him, made it appear as if he would die, that he died. So it reinforced the mistake that they previously made. They said, we're afraid that having a relationship with God, Moshe has been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. They were afraid that having a relationship with Hashem at that level meant death. That's why they chose to create, this is perhaps an understanding of why they chose to create the golden calf. They said, we can't access God directly. We need some kind of in-between. If it's not going to be Moshe, it's going to be a golden calf. That's the idea of idolatry. That's the idolatry of the Christian world. We can't access God. He's too high. We need to have some kind of human being, heaven forbid, to help us access. That's called shituf. That's a very big problem. That's not, it's called idolatry. We don't believe that. We believe that we can access God directly, but the problem is the Jewish people took the direct access which they had, which was represented by the fact that they would live forever. That means only Hashem is forever, right? If you're in a real relationship with God, if God's name is Chokuk, if God's name is engraved upon you, so then you'll live forever. You have it forever. Can't get into it completely because we're running out of time, but that's the power of the Torah. The Medrash says, quotes the pasuk, "Ramim was kel begrunim mecher pifias biyadam." The Torah is a sword. One of the reasons why it's called Har Chayrev, the three names of the mountain of Har Sinai. One is Sinai, one is Har Elikim, the mountain of God. One of them is Har Chayrev, Horeb in English. Chayrev is a lashon of sword. The Torah is a sword which is etched upon it God's name, which protects us from the Malach HaMavis, from the angel of death. And it's that very sword, when we have the Torah, as we spoke about previously, and when we have the Torah, we're protected from our enemies. Our enemies are fearful of us. That's why it's so important that the Laim de Torah and the land of Israel, the ones who are studying Torah, continue to study Torah and not be fazed by those. The Jewish people need the Torah. It's more of a protection than the physical swords and guns. The Torah itself is our protection. But when we lose, what's the mistake? And we made this mistake also in regards to the man. I can't get into him, running out of time, but the man also, can't get into it at depth. The man was something which a person would eat, and they wouldn't have to use the bathroom afterwards. It had no, there was no psilus, there was no waste. It was completely consumed by the body. It was a very spiritual thing, but the Jewish people got afraid. They became afraid when they ate it. They're like, why is my body not functioning properly? Perhaps this is going to kill me. Unfortunately, normal human reaction, when we experience this, a spiritual situation which is beyond what we're used to. Let's say we have bitachon and it works. And bitachon, a certain thing's going to happen. We're going to get parnasa. Don't know exactly how, but it works out. We're going to have our livelihood. It works out. We're in a situation where someone's not well, and they become better. But it's scary. Like, when you experience a miracle, you think, it's a natural human reaction to a miracle. When you experience it, you think, that can never happen to me again. I can never be zeichet to that again. The Jewish people come to Yamsuf, they're afraid. Yeah, they just saw that amazing thing that happened before, but it's not going to happen to me again. They're eating the man and they're afraid. How could it be? It's not natural. Maybe something's wrong. They come to Mount Sinai and they hear God's voice and they come back to life, but who says that will happen again? They're afraid. They're afraid to be in a real relationship with God. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's the same thing. The spies come and they're afraid to believe that God is directly intervening. It's too much. It's too much for us to accept that Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a different divine providence. That's why the number one, like I said before, the number one excuse why people don't come to Israel is because of the word about livelihood. And what's the end of it, really? And they don't believe that Hashem can help them here. They're afraid of their kids, and they don't believe Hashem can help you here. That's the ultimate mistake, is when Hashem is calling us. He's taken away all of the blocks to coming to Eretz Yisrael. He's created a situation of challenge in the land of Israel. Yes, with the Lame Day Torah. Yes, with our enemies around us. But that is to bring us to a new place. It's mamish like we're standing in front of Yam Suf. We're mamish standing there right in front of Yam Suf. Hashem has brought us this far. And we're saying, well, Hashem's not going to bring me all the way. And so people are scared. They're scared to live in Eretz Yisrael. They're scared to move to Eretz Yisrael. They're scared to even think about it. But I want you to know, I live here. And 7 million Jews and counting, constantly growing, more and more from people. We live here. Americans live here. And we succeed here. And we see Hashgacha Pratis in an unusual way, all the time. God's eyes are on the land of Israel every single moment from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It's not like any place else in the world. And that's scary. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to live in a place where we're in a real relationship with God. And maybe I'm not worthy. But Hashem wants us to know. And that's the lesson of this medrash. And that's what I want to take out of this. And I want to bless you and ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us that we should recognize that we are standing on the threshold of Geula, of redemption. Hashem should help us to recognize that it's the time to jump into the water. It's the time to come here to Eretz Yisrael. It's the time to not be afraid. It's the time to strengthen our Torah learning. It's the time to move on to the next level. Not listen to the lies of the spies. Hashem should help us to recognize the truth that He's here and He's ready to help us and ready to bring us a final redemption. May it be speedily and in our days. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.